This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Smart. Sexy. Kinky. Fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, we are live and you can call us. You can talk to me or my guests today at 866-472-5788, 866-472-5788. If you're not listening live, you can still leave a question or a comment on our 24-hour voicemail line, 323-SEX-8266, 323-SEX-8266. Today, we are going to talk about female sexuality because really, we've talked about it a lot on this show, but there's still more to talk about. And our author has written a fascinating book, and we're going to get right into it. So let me tell you about her. Sarah Barmack is a Toronto freelance journalist and author fascinated by sexuality, gender issues, women's health, and social justice. Her first book, Closer, Notes from the Orgasmic Frontier of Female Sexuality, was published in 2016 by Coach House Books. Sarah was shortlisted for Kobo's 2017 Emerging Writer Prize, and Closer has been nominated for the 2017 Vine Award for Canadian Jewish Literature and named one of the best books of 2016 by multiple media outlets. Sarah writes regularly about sex for The Walrus magazine, and her writing also appears in Vice, The Hairpin, Maclean's, The Globe and Mail, and elsewhere. Sarah gave an acclaimed TEDx Toronto talk called Women's Sexuality Isn't, quote, complicated. Sarah teaches freelance journalism at the University of Toronto's Monk School of Global Affairs. She designed a workshop called The Sex Myth Detox that helps women and female-identified people rid themselves of toxic sexual narratives inherited from our culture. Welcome to Sex Out Loud, Sarah Barmack.
Hey, Tristan. Thanks so much for having me on the show. I'm happy to be here.
So you're in Canada, so probably your week was okay, right? See, normally I welcome my guest and then we have to talk about a tyrannical government, natural disasters, and school shootings, but you just sort of had a smooth, a regular sort of Monday to Friday?
Built an igloo, celebrated our like socialist healthcare. And we're pretty much affected by everything that goes on in the U.S. You know, Canadians are reading, you know, the news about what's going on in the political situation all the time. So we feel pretty affected by it.
Thank you. There are some... In this book, Closer, there are some not surprising things for anyone who's ever studied anything about female sexuality. You know, this whole notion that really the amount of research and scientific inquiry into male sexuality far outpaces the amount of research and inquiry and funding for that research on female sexuality. So it's like people are, if you want to study on, especially white guys and their erections, I mean, you can call up thousands of journal articles. But then when we get to something as simple as female orgasms, people are like, well, maybe this one study with five people, I don't know. I mean, did you find that piece of it challenging?
That really blew my mind as a journalist when I started to dig into this research, especially because women's sexuality is so often, you know, spoken about as being more quote unquote complicated or, you know, than men's sexuality, which is kind of considered to be something that most people understand. Like people know how a penis works, all of these things. And yet, I think there was a study in 2006 that that kind of searched the research and found that there was about three times as much research on male sexuality as there was on female sexuality. So I was sort of scratching my head a little bit.
And the other thing that you do very cleverly is you look at how stereotypes emerge, persist, go away, and then come back sometimes. Mm-hmm. Just like actual solid information about female sexuality. Also, it's like we're not inventing the wheel here. Some of this stuff has already been documented, but it sort of doesn't, I mean, do you think it just doesn't catch on with the mass public? And that's why people are like, wait, the G-spot? That's new. I haven't heard of that.
Yeah. It's so interesting to me because, you know, the story that we hear all the time is that science is discovering that there's a G-spot and science is discovering that the clitoris is way bigger than just this pea-sized thing. It's got legs and wow. And there's a new story about this every couple years. And I was really amazed to find out that actually, you know, the inner body of the clitoris, the part that actually extends into the body, that was documented, you know, in the 19th century by, you know, someone writing a book back then. And what actually happens is that information about women's sexuality just doesn't get put into mainstream sources, mainstream anatomy textbooks, mainstream medical textbooks. It's considered sort of fringe information or fringe knowledge, whereas male sexuality is basically considered the gold standard of sex. Men are considered the main kind of actors in sexuality. This is in the kind of the Western tradition for the past few hundred years. And women are considered sort of the passive extra players, you know. So that's really what's happening. And that's why we don't understand women. And that's why we think that women are complicated. It's not because women are complicated. It's because we've marginalized information about how women really work.
And as you point out in the book repeatedly, it's also because we keep comparing women to men and saying, mm-hmm. well, this part doesn't make sense. You know, and I mean, this is the perfect example of this, of course, is the hunt for the female Viagra and how this one drug finally came out and literally doesn't work and it failed miserably. And everyone was like, I'm ready to have, you know, billions of dollars like Viagra. And they're like, we don't understand why the pill doesn't work. It's because they're trying to just basically engineer something based on all this information they have about men's sexuality and then stick a pink label on it and be like, what's up?
It's so funny. And this pill, you know, this pill was the crowning achievement of like two decades of desperate searching.
Two to find decades. Viagra. Let that fucking sink in. My God. Go ahead.
You know, and there's a really good documentary about this called Orgasm Inc., which I'm sure you've seen, about the search for female Viagra. But, you know, the whole point is that female sexuality is kind of, for lack of a better word, a more holistic enterprise. Sexuality for women, desire for women, tends to be, and I'm going to, you know, this is a generalization because obviously there's more similarity between men and women than there are differences. And there's a lot of, you know, distinctions between different types of women. But in general, women's sexuality is more connected to our emotional well-being and to our psychological well-being than it is for men. So the idea of taking a pill that's just going to make our clits stand up and get super interested in sex is, you know, kind of misguided.
Right, which is why, of course, it didn't work. And it's fascinating that so many resources were poured into that one thing. Where I feel like if you just split up those resources between, you know, 10 really credible researchers, we could know more now than we do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, there's a lot of good news in my book as well. And I couldn't have finished writing it if it was all just sort of like, oh, this sucks, that sucks. there's some amazing researchers who are looking into different therapies for lack of desire and other female sexuality issues that involve mindfulness and other kind of non-traditional therapies. So it's really interesting.
Well, we were at our first commercial break. I don't know how that happened because we have so much to talk about. Because you did kind of a deep dive into, you know, you went through the science and you were like, okay, folks, this is the science. And now let me tell you what's going on in the fucking world and how women are taking control of the situation. And I love that about the spirit of this book is you were like, okay, so a bunch of guys did this and they said this. Whatever. Now, let me tell you what women are saying. And it's really on the ground, grassroots movements that these scenarios and these events and these people and these classes come to life in this book. And so I want to dig into that when we come back. But let's take a commercial break and we will have more on female sexuality with Sarah Barmack when we return. Sharpen your pencils and polish your apples because the Pleasure Chest is taking you back to school. The Pleasure Chest is the only adult boutique that offers free weekly workshops through their Pleasure Ed program, which is open to folks of all genders, experiences, and orientations who are looking to increase their sexual IQ. With classes ranging from strap on, get off, to the ultimate O, to spank someone happy, education has never been so stimulating. Attend any workshop at the Pleasure Chest and receive 15% off your purchase that night. Bring a hot study date or pick up some skills yourself. Check out pleasurechest.com for a complete listing of upcoming events nationwide and use the code Tristan at checkout to enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, voiceamerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at puckerup.com. That's Tristan at puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, I want to give you an update on this new class that I am teaching with Jamila Dawson and Vanessa Carlisle. It's called Pleasure as Resistance, Sexual Self-Care and Social Justice. It's September 23rd at Everybody Gym, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. in Los Angeles. We have, in fact, reached our capacity. However, we're currently, and that's great, and I love you all for that. We're currently taking people for the wait list, and we do believe we're going to be able to accommodate everyone. We did have to set a capacity according to like fire laws or whatever. But we are going to try to squeeze as many people in as possible, and people, of course, don't show up the day of. So you can still read all about it, go to the website, and please, please, please put your name on the wait list at sxsj2017.eventbrite.com. And I hope I see some of you there. I want to remind you we're live and you can give us a call. What are your thoughts about the absence of research on female sexuality and the misinformation and the stereotypes? 866-472-5788. 866-472-5788. So before the break, Sarah, As we were talking about your book, Closer, Notes from the Orgasmic Frontier of Female Sexuality, one of the things you write in it is, I wanted to look at the myriad cultural undercurrents that are challenging old beliefs about women's sexualities, even as stereotypes persist and reappear in other ways. I love this idea of cultural undercurrents. And also, you really went to actual women. Right, there are stories and voices of women and of real things happening on the ground right now that flow through this book. You went to events, workshops, different kinds of practitioners and teachers, and you also talked about the research. So how did you come up with which things to cover? How did you find some of these things are very well known, like I had heard of them before, and some of them not.
Yeah, that's a good question. This was the part of the book that I really loved that was just so enjoyable for me as a journalist and as a woman and as a person. It was just fantastic to just speak to these real women and go to these courses and go to these like naked meetings. And because, you know, the half of the story was, as you said, was how science and the medical establishment is failing women and mainstream culture. But then this other half was how women are kind of changing their relationship to sexuality on an individual level. And, you know, this is sort of like a subcultural current. And at first, when I was looking at this, I was really only aware of a couple things. You know, I had heard of orgasmic meditation. I had been to Burning Man and I had seen this, you know, live demonstration of a woman in orgasm presented by, you know, One Taste, which is the orgasmic meditation organization. And I had heard of various other things. But what happened was there was this amazing effect of word of mouth. So I would talk to someone who was really switched on about going to like a sex toy workshop or, you know, getting a yoni massage. And that person would be like, oh, well, you have to read this book. You have to go to this class. You have to do this. So it was just talking to real people. And there was like this underground sexual pleasure female network that I felt like I was getting introduced to, which was just incredible.
And it feels very inspired by like the consciousness raising groups of the 1970s and the women's movement, that women are getting together in a room and in some cases they are simply talking about their real experiences of their own sexuality and their own bodies.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Which is still itself radical.
It's so true that it's crazy that that's still a radical thing to just have women speaking about their subjective sexual feelings and experiences, but it's true. And I make an explicit connection there back to the 70s and, you know, what still really hasn't come along since, you know, all of those great, amazing first steps were taken back then. But, yeah, I really enjoyed like just discovering what was out there, and I was amazed at women's resilience. You know, there were women getting together to have kind of masturbation circles, and there were things that were far more organized, like orgasmic meditation or like getting a yoni massage. And it was at one of these events that I actually decided to write the book, because you know, there's really only so much you can write about if you're just talking about, oh, this study was done. But I decided to write the book when I went to a meeting of anorgasmic women. So these are women who have either never had an orgasm or it's so difficult for them. And these were women who were anywhere from in their 20s to in their 50s. And it was early on in the book, and I just realized that these are women whose suffering is really not visible in the world. For these women, it was serious enough for them to feel like it was affecting their lives, their sense of themselves as sexual beings, their relationships, their health. And they felt like lesser human beings somehow because they couldn't do this thing that everyone else can do. And I was sitting there and I was like, oh my God, no one talks about these women. No one knows the fact that they are in this position, and everyone kind of dismisses this as like, that's not a real problem. So it was when I was really speaking to these women that I decided to write the book.
And that workshop that you talk about took place at Good for Her in Toronto, mm-hmm. which is a favorite of Sex Out Loud and me. And Carlisle Jensen was teaching it. So one of the real women in this book that fascinated me so much that you followed and who has quite a story, she's not anorgasmic. This is a different story. Her name is Vanessa. And I hope you'll just give me a summary of mm-hmm. what her story is.
So Vanessa was and is an amazing woman. And she found out I was writing this book and she contacted me and she said, you know, I don't know if you can use my story, but I'm going to tell you my story. And we got together and she's my age. She's in her 30s. And she says, basically she had just gone through a horrible situation with her doctors, with the medical industry. And this is in Canada where we have, you know, we have socialized healthcare, but she basically had a horrific infection in her body, and because it had originated in the glands that create squirt fluid, so that's the fluid that's expressed by the urethra when a woman squirts during orgasm, and she's a huge squirter, she's a woman who loved sexuality, but because she had an infection that originated in these glands, she could not get this infection treated in the medical world because no one knew how to test it. Her doctor didn't know what squirting was. They had never heard of female ejaculation. She went to see a gynecologist who had never heard of it. She went to speak to a prostate expert who was like, no, there is no such thing as the female prostate, which is another word for those glands. So in short, this was her journey, and the context that I gave it was the history that's kind of led up to this moment where there can be this blank within our knowledge.
And blank within the body, right? That she's, that they're saying, okay, let's, maybe you have an STD and let's scrape the cervix. Let's do a pelvic exam. Let's look at your bladder. Let's do all these things, right? And when all those things come up negative, she's like, no, I think it's in these Skene's glands, right? Mm-hmm. And people are like, that's not even on the diagram. We don't mm-hmm. have a test for that. We don't have an exam for it. Like, where do I find it? And she, you know, she brings more knowledge of her own body to the table than some of these doctors.
And the only reason that she ever finally got treated is because she became an expert in the frontier science of female sexual anatomy. She went online, she went on forums, she discovered, okay, there are other words for this. It's Skene's glands, or it's female prostate, and she's feeling around in her body and she's thinking to herself, okay, it hurts right here. It hurts between this part and this part, and it hurts to ejaculate. It hurts to have an orgasm. There's some connection.
Vanessa eventually goes on a round of antifungal drugs. She goes on a special diet. They find out that sort of candida has overrun her system. But then this other layer is revealed. So I sort of thought as the story went on and it's broken up, I was like, okay, I'm really invested now in what the fuck is happening with Vanessa and her body. And it got even more complicated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did. And I mean, basically there's all kinds of connections to sexual assault in the story. And Vanessa goes through a kind of a period of self-discovery where she realizes that actually she did experience an assault that created an injury that led to this infection, and she had pushed the assault out of her mind. So there's many different layers here. She asked me, you know, if she could be anonymous, but Vanessa is her real first name, and she's an incredible woman.
And one of the major symptoms she was having, like you said, was she was having pain during sex. She was having pain during ejaculation and orgasm. At some point, she stopped orgasming. Can you give me like the update on Vanessa so I don't lose sleep about this? Because when we left off, she was not as orgasmic as she was before the infection.
Yeah, and her ability to be a sexual being the way she was before the infection has changed. So before the infection, she was effortlessly multi-orgasmic, ejaculated whenever she had sex. This was always a challenge for her. She said that her partner sometimes treated her weirdly because of this, but she always enjoyed it. And while she had the infection, which it really spread because of all the delays in her treatment. During the cure for her infection, she suddenly stopped being able to orgasm, and now it's come back, but it's not the same as it used to be. She's no longer effortlessly multi-orgasmic. I think her journey is still continuing, and maybe she's healed even further, but. You know, the connection between, your body, between your flora, between, your emotional health, there are all these really super interesting connections there.
That's why she so beautifully illustrates the kind of message of this book, I think. And one of my favorite quotes in the book is from her. We're going to take another commercial break, but she says, quote, "I orgasm the way I feel emotion. It's big and messy and embarrassing," end quote. Mm. One of my favorite quotes. Okay, guys, we're going to take another commercial break. When we come back, we're going to put our history hats on because there's a little bit of history in this book, including some I didn't even know. And I've read a whole lot about this stuff. So stay with us. More with Sarah Barmack when we come back. Sharpen your pencils and polish your apples because the Pleasure Chest is taking you back to school. The Pleasure Chest is the only adult boutique that offers free weekly workshops through their Pleasure Ed program, which is open to folks of all genders, experiences, and orientations who are looking to increase their sexual IQ. With classes ranging from strap on, get off, to the ultimate O, to spank someone happy, education has never been so stimulating. Attend any workshop at the Pleasure Chest and receive 15% off your purchase that night. Bring a hot study date or pick up some skills yourself. Check out pleasurechest.com for a complete listing of upcoming events nationwide and use the code Tristan at checkout to enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, are you passionate about sex education and want to build a career in the field? If you are interested in what it takes to become a sex educator, or you're just beginning your journey as a sex educator, then you'll be happy to know that my Sex Educator Bootcamp Level 1 is available online right now. We've done this as an in-person event, and then I did it as a live event, but now you can watch it whenever you want. And then coming up in October, October 15th and 17th from 6 to 7:30 Pacific time, my Sex Educator Bootcamp Level 2 will be a live online seminar. Go to sexeducatorbootcamp.com to find out the details, and you can register there. And I hope to see some of you at the live event in October. Guess what else is happening in October, people? From October 18th to the 22nd, Tristan Does Dallas. That's right. I'm coming to the heart of America to talk about sex positivity. I have a whole bunch of events. October 21st, I'm doing a new class called Sex Positions from Mild to Wild. And it's at a very special venue, which means I can do live demos. So there are going to be live sex demos, which is really exciting. It's going to be at a great place. And then October 22nd in the afternoon, Black Sex Geek presents Cultural Competency Training on Non-Monogamy and BDSM with me. This is tailored for therapists. It's at a private location, and it's a 3-hour seminar all about how to become more culturally competent in non-monogamy and BDSM. Then that night at 6 o'clock, and I've just confirmed this, I'm teaching Kick It Up a Notch, Taking Sex to the Next Level at Sarah's Secret at the Plano, Texas location. Sarah's Secret is the largest chain of sex boutiques in the Dallas area, and I'm going to teach this great class called Kick It Up a Notch, which kind of has like a little something for everyone. So it'll be kind of a greatest hits, you know, all my tips and all my tricks and all my things that I know. You can go to my website, puckerup.com, and click on tour and see all the information about all these events and links to get tickets. All of these events are ticketed, and they're ticketed through different things. So just read the instructions and get tickets. And I hope to see you in Dallas next month. I'm talking today with author Sarah Barmack about her book, Closer, Notes from the Orgasmic Frontier of Female Sexuality. And Sarah, one of the great things that you do is you lay out, you know, just how women's sexuality has been treated throughout history. And there's a great section and chapter on how the vulva and the vagina have been revered for centuries. Give me an example of one of these things that has somehow like missed most history books.
Yeah. You know, because we are in the West and history books tend to pick and choose what we read, we tend to think of women's sexuality and, you know, there being vibrators and Sex in the City as being this whole new thing that no one was interested in the clitoris before, you know, 1999 or something. But when I was looking through the literature, what I really realized, and I am not the first person to realize this, by the way, but, you know, there were all kinds of different cultures that recognized female sexuality as a powerhouse. And one of those was South Asian culture. And there are many different aspects to South Asian culture, and it's not just one monolithic thing. But there were all kinds of tantric undercurrents. There's one beautiful poem that I quote in my book that is basically instructions on cunnilingus. I wish I had it in front of me, but it talks about circumambulating the shrine and, you know, the clitoris as a type of ruby. And I was reading this stuff and just going, wow, this is ancient stuff. And yet they're far more advanced than we are in many ways.
Yeah, that technique, as described in that poem, does work, actually. It's not like spell the alphabet with your tongue, which we know doesn't work. It was like this circular technique, and I was like, recognize that. Oh, that's centuries old. Wow. So you make the good point that that in some ways we have to kind of recover this history, right? We have to recover this history and keep reminding people of it and putting it out there until we reach I don't know, a kind of consensus on some of these basic ideas about female sexuality.
Exactly. As a culture, we've just decided to conveniently erase what doesn't really serve us. And if we're living in a patriarchal society, then all of this information about female pleasure doesn't really fit in with our concept of what sexuality should be and what women's place should be. So it's really up to us to remember what we've forgotten and to delve into all this beautiful history and to really soak it up and remember it and of course to create new history. So yeah, that's right.
Now, you brought this up when you were talking about the book, and I found this really fascinating that one chapter of this book is about a new sort of constellation of treatments for women around desire and pleasure, mm-hmm. and that is using mindfulness.
Mm-hmm.
And mindfulness, you know, is having a moment. It's having its moment now, I think. Mm-hmm. It's kind of all over the place, and people are talking about mindfulness as ways to wake up and stay woke, as ways to decrease stress, to shut off our brains once in a while. You know, it has all of these applications, and yet there hasn't been much writing about mindfulness and sexuality. There is a new book coming out called Good Sex, which is by Jessica Graham, and that's coming out later this year, and I've read the galleys. It's really good. But tell me about this research and this treatment that you uncovered and what mindfulness has to do with sexuality.
Yeah, so this is an area that I'm super interested in, not just because I'm a you know, regular meditator and I absolutely love the practice, but you know, we hear about, you're right, mindfulness for everything. It's like mindfulness for golf, mindfulness for, you know, to concentrate better at your computer. But what mindfulness really does is it allows you to control your awareness. And there's some really cutting edge science on how women relate to their bodies that's being done by scientists that include some Canadian scientists. There's a psychology researcher named Meredith Chivers and another one named Dr. Lori Brotto, and they're both in Canada, and they study the relationship between the mind and body for women and how this kind of compares to men, how heterosexual women compare to homosexual women, and they've discovered that it's really complicated to describe, but basically women's minds and bodies don't always talk to each other sexually. Mm-hmm. So women are more likely to not be aware of their arousal, not be aware of what their body is telling them, not really be on the same page. And while some of this is completely normal, it's just the way women are, there are some theories that if women get repeated messages from our culture from a young age that sexuality is dirty or wrong or good girls don't pursue sex, then girls and young women will actually start to deprioritize those signals coming from their body. So feelings of arousal, feelings of pleasure, things like that. And that can lead to numbness, to not being able to feel. And this goes back to that anorgasmic meeting of all those women sitting in a circle going, you know, I really wish I could feel. And so what mindfulness does, and, you know, this is for women who are looking for help in this area, you know, not all women find this to be an issue, but for women looking for help in this area, it's about being still with your body, being still with your sensations, and being with your sensations in your body, in your genital area, putting your awareness there. And where your awareness goes, energy is able to flow and greater sensations are able to blossom. So that's kind of the shortest way that I could describe that. But it's real and it's really powerful.
I mean, I feel like I've known this intuitively forever. Like, I talk about this in my book, The Ultimate Guide to Anal Sex for Women, and that I wrote in 1998 before I ever meditated once or even knew what mindfulness was, but just about how paying attention to your body and to a place that people have told you, as in culture has told you, is not sexual, sort of completely dismissing it, bringing your awareness to that area can have a huge impact on just how you experience pleasure from anal stimulation. So it makes perfect sense. And I think also, like you said, I feel like there's so many reasons for us to, you know, arm our bodies, to protect our bodies, and to disassociate from our bodies. So it makes perfect sense that we have to kind of unlearn all of that in order to feel what's actually going on and feel pleasure.
Absolutely. And, you know, when there's, you know, survivors of trauma, there's been a lot of studies done on how we're able to basically leave the body if there's an attack, if there's an assault. Dissociating from your body, as you said. And our minds are extremely powerful. We're able to kind of push things away that we don't really want to feel. And some of those sensations are not just the good sensations, they're also the negative sensations that come with sex. So a lot of women, when they talk about the negative things that come up during sex, it's like your inner critic coming up. When you're trying to get down, you're trying to be with your partner, your inner critic comes up and goes, oh, I hope I look good right now. Maybe I should turn the lights off. Maybe I should be in a different position. I wonder what I smell like. And what the people are doing who are developing this mindfulness therapy, some of the therapy is actually helping women be with that negative self-talk, be with negative feelings, be with negative sensations, and just kind of accept everything that's happening, as opposed to going, oh my God, sex is just too scary. It's a terrible experience and I don't even want to try.
Okay, we're going to take another commercial break. When we come back, we will talk more with Sarah. So stay with us.
Sharpen your pencils and polish your apples, because the Pleasure Chest is taking you back to school. The Pleasure Chest is the only adult boutique that offers free weekly workshops through their Pleasure Ed program, which is open to folks of all genders, experiences, and orientations who are looking to increase their sexual IQ. With classes ranging from strap on, get off, to the ultimate O, to spank someone happy, education has never been so stimulating. Attend any workshop at the Pleasure Chest and receive 15% off your purchase that night. Bring a hot study date or pick up some skills yourself. Check out pleasurechest.com for a complete listing of upcoming events nationwide, and use the code Tristan at checkout to enjoy a free massage candle with your purchase, courtesy of the Pleasure Chest.
B-Vibe is a premium collection of anal sex toys. Their products feature different sizes to accommodate users of all shapes, sizes, and experience levels. B-Vibe's high-end designs are couples-friendly, body-safe, and offer innovation aimed to create an exceptional user experience. You know I've got really high standards when it comes to anal toys, and I am in love with these. Plus, they stand behind each item with an easy-to-understand, hassle-free warranty. Dubbed as the Apple of anal, learn how B-Vibe and its premium anal plugs are engaging couples to discover the amazing pleasures of anal play. Visit bvibe.com and use coupon code Tristan to receive 20% off your purchase.
Stimulating talk
gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan at PuckerUp.com. That's Tristan at PuckerUp.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. Hey, do you want to join me for the sex positive vacation of a lifetime? Of course you do. I'm so excited that I'm a special guest at this awesome event put on by the folks from the podcasts Life on the Swing Set and Ending the Sexual Dark Age. They are taking over the adults-only, clothing-optional, all-inclusive Desire Resort in Cancun, Mexico. And we are going to have a full week of workshops, hands-on demos, parties, theme nights, a dungeon, lots of open-minded folks. One price includes lodging, airport transfers, food, drinks, and I've been told that there are less than 10 rooms available. Okay, so they are nearly sold out. I think they have 120 rooms. So less than 10 spots available. And you can put a deposit down and reserve your spot today. It sold out last year and it's going to sell out again this year. Go to ssdesire.com. And let me tell you what's coming up at the Pleasure Chest and their free Pleasure Ed workshop series. In Los Angeles, September 17th, Great Sex Without Penetration with Joan Price. September 20th, Blowjobs and Beyond with Chris. September 27th, The Ultimate O with Sarah. And October 4th, Awaken Your Senses with Coco. In New York City on the Upper East Side, September 20th, Tantra for Beginners with Reed Mahalko. September 21st, How to Drive a Vulva with Allison Moon. September 27th, Libido Liberation with Sloan. And October 4th, Suck It, Lick It, Love It with Greer. In Chicago, September 20th, Blowjobs and Beyond with Antoinette Elizabeth and Danielle. And October 4th, Impact Play, Spanking, Flogging, and More with Sean. To check out this and see my page of my favorite toys and buy yourself something nice, go to pleasurechest.com. Gosh, is that everything? Have I done all the housework? I have. Okay, so Sarah Barmack, in your in chapter 5 of your book, Closer, Notes from the Orgasmic Frontier, Female Sexuality, you ask or you sort of tackle an important question, and that is pleasure necessary? So is pleasure necessary?
Yes. And the reason that I wrote that chapter, and I'm so glad you asked me about it, is because there are, you know, people out there and feminists actually who kind of don't really get all of this attention being paid to sexuality and pleasure. And they kind of ask me, you know, is all of this really so important? Like, okay, yeah, I guess someone can't have an orgasm. You know, there are women who are suffering from mass rape. There are women who suffer from all kinds of issues. And I agree. It's certainly not a problem in that sense. However, I actually believe that pleasure is an issue of social justice. And I'm going to explain what I mean by that. So we pretty much know, and science has completely supported this in many different ways, that sex is good for us. It's really good for us on so many different levels, whether that's just aiding the quality of our relationships, helping us sleep, helping us de-stress, helping us manage pain. It can actually do that. All kinds of ways, and it's just associated with all of these indicators of health. And, you know, some people even believe it can lead to feelings of oneness, feeling of greater connection. And I sort of believe that if there are people in the world who have less access to this source of pleasure and happiness and joy that they have been naturally born with, if these are people who are female people, who are LGBTQ, people of color, trans people, all kinds of people who are basically kind of told to be ashamed about this, then it is actually an equity issue, because you're basically telling someone you don't have access to this amazing God-given right.
Absolutely. I mean, I think that we always have to remind ourselves, and you do this very thoughtfully in the book, that like access to pleasure is not neutral and it's not an even playing field. Depending on the body you are in and the social location it occupies in our culture, you have varying levels of access to pleasure. And people really need to like think that through, that there is a lot of access if you are white and female and upper middle class and thin and traditionally beautiful. Sure, then there's a perfect vibrator for you. But then when we look at the lives of marginalized folks, their pleasure is not unmitigated. Their pleasure is happening in these structures of oppression. So it's such a good point that you make, and it's such a good way to close because, oh my God, we're out of time. How did that happen?
This is so much fun.
Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Tristan Taormino.
So Sarah's book is called Closer, Notes from the Orgasmic Frontier of Female Sexuality. It was published by Coach House Books. Hey, if you guys love like Emily Nagoski's book, and I recommended AJ Goddard's book on this show, you will really love this book. So I highly recommend it. You can find out more about Sarah on her website, Sarah Barmack, SarahBarmack.com. She is Sarah Barmack on Twitter and Facebook, and she is at 5Tarmack on Instagram. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a real pleasure. And this has been a really, really fun discussion. I could talk about sex all day. I'm a sex nerd.
Now let's hear a little something that the folks at the Pleasure Chest have cooked up for us.
The Pleasure Chest presents Disappointingly Realistic Erotica. Chapter 1, Great Sexpectations. Marjorie had known the whole time that she would have a huge dick. When she had seen this particular one sitting on the shelf at the sex shop, it took all of her strength not to stuff it down her pants right there in front of everyone. She loved its girth, its pronounced head, and its realistic veins. And somehow, its medium brown skin tone matched hers perfectly, like it was made especially for her. She loved it even more when she strapped it on at home and admired herself in front of the full-length mirror. With that heavy porn star dick dangling between her legs, she felt powerful, fearless, virile. Frank got home while she was still gazing at her own reflection. He actually dropped his briefcase in shock, staring at her.
"Like what you see, baby?"
she purred at him. It took him a moment to find his voice.
Hon, what part of "I've never done this before, so get something beginner friendly" was unclear to you?
Chapter 2, Dental Dammit. Patricia shivered as Chloe's tongue circled her asshole, the younger woman's small hands lifting and spreading Patricia's cheeks. Why had she been so hesitant to try something casual, to hook up, as Chloe called it? Patricia wondered as she pushed her hips towards her nouvelle partner, silently begging for more. Sure, Chloe was a tad immature, but that didn't mean that they couldn't have fun together. Patricia's rapidly beating heart and ragged breath were proof of that. Suddenly, Chloe pulls away, laughing hysterically.
"My septum piercing got caught in the dental dam," she yelled.
Chapter 3, Doing It Raw. "I've spent all night trying to keep from staring at your ass," Rex breathed into my ear. "I can't wait to curl my fingers into it." I knew it. From dinner at the new raw food place to queer bingo at Cheer Up Charlie's, my date's eyes had wandered and their intentions had been clear. Unfortunately, that raw food did a number on me, so maybe just hold that thought until next time? Chapter 4, The Loophole. In the darkened chapel of their small Christian college, Bo pounded his barely legal girlfriend's tight asshole with his throbbing, barely legal cock. Mary Elizabeth writhed under him, her modest skirt pulled up around her face and her hand fiercely working her love button. He felt her anus grip his shaft as she bellowed in orgasm, throwing her head back Pieta style. Her pleasure spurred his own, and he spilled his seed with a guttural moan. They had gotten so good at this over the last couple months, able to send each other into overwhelming spirals of pleasure. Gosh knows they had plenty of practice. He collapsed on top of her and they lay together in the lube slick pew. Mary Elizabeth softly kissed his ear and whispered,
"I'm so glad anal doesn't count,"
Bo muttered.
"Praise be to divine loopholes."
Praise be indeed, everyone. I want to thank everyone who makes this show possible. Of course, the Pleasure Chest, Dame, one of our newest advertisers, and B-Vibe. Also, executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, announcer Cooper Beckett from Life on the Swing Set, Matt, my engineer, and everyone at Voice America. Tune in next Friday, 5 p.m. Pacific, 8 p.m. Eastern, for part one of a great two-part show. It's called Ask the Sex Therapists, and it features Dr. Chris Donahue of Loveline fame with Amber Rose, Jamila Dawson, Kate Lurie, and Dr. Hernando Chavez. This episode was recorded in front of a live studio audience at the Pleasure Chest. It consists mainly of listener questions and audience members really tackling tough and diverse subjects with this incredibly thoughtful and articulate panel of sex therapists. It is literally one of the favorite shows I have ever done. And it's going to be a two-parter, so you're going to hear it next Friday, and the Friday after that is the second part. Until then, catch me on facebook.com/asktristan, on Twitter at Sex Out Loud Radio and at Tristan Taramino, and on Instagram at Tristan Taramino. In the meantime, take some time to talk about sex out loud.
That's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.